Welcome to the Concord Podcast. I'm your host, Samuel Delgado. I'm here with Kevin Cooley, and in this episode, we talk with Pastor David King about a booklet that he wrote named Does the Old Testament Really Point to Jesus?
Yeah, this is a great booklet, Sam. You mentioned that it's an easy read, and it really is, but it is, I think it will be universally helpful to anyone who reads it. But boy, today it was just David's excitement and is contagious about the Word of God, and especially the Old Testament. I think for people who listen to this, it may be a change in your lens of how you view the Old Testament in a very good way. And most of all, it makes much of Jesus. So I'm thankful for that. And look forward to our people hearing this.
Yeah, that was great. Let's hear some stories. All right, so you've written this booklet, one that I'm really excited to hear from you about. Tell us the name of the booklet and why you wrote it.
The booklet's called Does the Old Testament Really Point to Jesus? And the reason I wrote this booklet is because the book that I wrote several years ago was pitched towards pastors and teachers. It's still beneficial, I think, if anybody wanted to pick it up who doesn't preach or teach, but they'd have to be translating some things for their personal situation. I really wanted to write something that would hit lay people, people who aren't preaching and teaching, but who care about the Bible and they want to know how to read the Old Testament, especially in light of Jesus and the gospel. That's not always an easy thing to do, but I wanted people to have a simple tool to give them some new ways of thinking about that.
Yeah. So this is more for the book you wrote before was really for pastors. This is really for the layman.
Especially like I had young teenagers in mind when I wrote this booklet, and I had grandmothers in my mind. It's like, if I can write this in a way some of our young people and our older people both can understand it, who don't preach or teach, then praise God, that's what I'm going for.
Yeah, because I think this is an important topic, and it may not be something that comes natural to everyone. So my next question is, why does this matter, seeing Jesus in the Old Testament?
It matters because the whole Bible, we're told, is about Jesus. And we're making a big mistake if we read the Old Testament in a way that doesn't bring us to Jesus and strengthen our faith in Him. You know, one of my favorite passages of Scripture on this topic is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 15 through 17, where Paul talks about the sacred writings. And of course, he's referring primarily to what we call the Old Testament.
Right.
But he tells Timothy that the sacred writings are able to make him wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus.
That's incredible.
That's what the Old Testament is for. And then he goes on to say, and people will be familiar with this, all Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Again, the Scriptures that he's referring to there are Old Testament Scriptures. And he's saying that that's the basis, Timothy, for your Christian discipleship. You will be incomplete as a Christian without these Old Testament Scriptures. And once you understand what Paul is teaching Timothy there, then all of a sudden you feel the weight of the necessity to read the Old Testament in a way that brings you to Christ and strengthens your faith in Him. Now, that's going to raise a lot of other questions, like how do you do that? Because we're not Israel. We don't live under the old covenant. Is this Scripture really relevant to us? And if so, how? And that's what this little booklet attempts to explain. There are multiple ways, six ways, that I think the Old Testament points to Jesus. And depending on the kind of passage that you're in the Old Testament, one of those ways is going to bring you to Jesus. So we need to be familiar with how the Bible works like that.
So you'd say Paul's words to Timothy are just as relevant to us as they were to Timothy.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is a major statement.
Yeah.
Because that is going to how we read the Old Testament.
And here's the exciting thing. Once I came to understand this, and for me, this has been a long journey. You know, it's been well over a decade at this point, probably 15 or 20 years. Once I came to understand this, my love for the Bible increased. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my goodness, I can pick up any part of Scripture and learn what it means to follow Jesus and walk with Him if I'm interpreting it the right way.
Right.
And so I don't just have to preach from the New Testament. I can preach anywhere in the entire Bible, and it can be Christian preaching, Christian sermons. And the same is true if I'm not a preacher or a teacher. I'm just picking up the Bible to read. If I understand these various ways that the Old Testament points to Jesus, the whole Bible is now Christian scripture for me. And it's the foundation of my Christian discipleship.
Yeah. I love that. And we'll get into kind of some of the more specifics of the book before we go there. And you've sort of alluded to this. Leading to the question, I'll say that a lot of times, because we have that division between Old and New Testament, we tend to compartmentalize new as one thing and the old as other, and we can sort of approach the Old Testament almost with like a different hat on, right? So this idea that Jesus is what you just said all throughout the Old Testament, where does that come from?
Well, one of the key passages I would say is John chapter 5, verses 39 and 40, which I think we mentioned in another podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus was encountering opposition from the religious leaders. And we're not told, I think, in that passage whether these were the Pharisees or scribes or just in general members of the Sanhedrin. I don't know. But these were men who knew the Bible. They pored over Scripture. They probably knew the Old Testament better than I do as far as like what's in it and how to read it, especially in the Hebrew. I don't know how to read Hebrew anymore. They knew the Bible, and Jesus still rebuked them because they were reading the Bible the wrong way. Well, how were they reading the Bible the wrong way? Well, Jesus said they were searching the Scriptures thinking that in them they would find life. And Jesus says the Scriptures are designed to bring you to me that you might have life. And yet they refused to come to Jesus in faith. Jesus believed that the Old Testament was about him. That's what he was saying to those religious leaders. There's a way to read the Old Testament that leads to damnation.
Hmm.
And that is by not reading it in light of Christ.
Yeah.
So we got to learn how to do this. Yeah, another one, this is a famous one, and it's perfect with Easter. I don't know when this podcast is going to drop, probably just after Easter, but we've just had Easter. And that first Easter evening, Jesus goes into the room where his disciples are gathered. He's already made a couple of personal appearances, private appearances, and now it's to a group. This is in Luke chapter 24. And Jesus opens their mind to understand the Scriptures. And he says, don't you know these Scriptures had to be fulfilled that were teaching about me coming into the world, suffering, dying, being raised on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins being preached in my name? All of that, Jesus says, was in the Old Testament. They just couldn't see it. They weren't reading it the right way. Well, now in Christ, we have the same benefit that the apostles had in that encounter with Jesus. We have the Spirit, and we have the Word, and we see how the apostles came to understand the Old Testament. And now we can see the shape of the gospel, even in the Old Testament, how it's pointing us to Jesus, getting ready for his ministry, and what it means that God's going to bring the nations in through a Savior, a Christ, who suffers and then triumphs in resurrection. We learned that from the Old Testament.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, someone told me one time, you don't really think about this, but as they, you know, first started to begin preaching Jesus and the gospel, the only writings they had really at that point were of the Old Testament.
That's exactly right.
And so, you know, it's incredible to see that that was just kind of the norm when we read the New Testament and we see all the references to the Old. That's just how they understood the scriptures.
And it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Like, as you read, like, through Acts, as they begin preaching the gospel, you know, they're pulling from the law, they're pulling from Psalms, they're pulling from the prophets, all to show how this is what God had promised, and it's now been fulfilled in the person that we know is named Jesus.
Yep.
You know, in the Old Testament, we don't ever see the name Jesus. So, like, Jesus isn't there, literally.
Right.
But everything about who he would be as the Christ and the shape of his life and his mission, it's all there. We just don't know his name yet.
Yep. And the word fulfill. He's come to fulfill.
That's right.
Not to cancel, but to fulfill.
That's right. The law.
So maybe we'll kind of get into more of the nitty-gritty here. How can I see Jesus in the Old Testament if I'm struggling to find him? I mean, some passages might be a little bit more obvious than others, but what about those that were, I can't see Jesus here?
Yeah, this is where I go through the six different ways that I believe the Old Testament points to Jesus. This takes a little bit of thinking and study. We have to understand. Here's the way I came to this, through help of a lot of academic scholars. We have to understand how the New Testament is interpreting the Old Testament. And once we see what Jesus and the apostles are doing with the Old Testament, now when we go to the Old Testament, we can do the same thing. And that's where these six ways that the Old Testament points to Jesus come from. One of the ways that is most obvious is what we would call promise. This would be like those prophetic promises that we understand to be messianic. They're about the Christ. Those are pretty easy because they're obvious. Right. But what about the passages that aren't so obvious? Well, another way that we see the Old Testament pointing to Jesus is through shadows. There are different patterns and shadows that God ordained in the history of Israel to come to fulfillment in Christ. They're a shadow of which Christ is the substance. And, you know, one example of that would be Adam as a type of Christ, or the temple being a shadow of what Jesus is going to fulfill in person. And I have a section in the booklet about shadows. This is not an easy one to understand, but once you begin to get your mind around it, it's like, oh, okay, I see more of these shadows in the Old Testament than I realized were there. And they're giving us a picture form of what Jesus is going to be like when he comes. Another one that's really helpful to me that I overlooked for years is just what I call instruction. You know, as God is giving instructions to his people, these are the instructions that Jesus lived by. So all of the law, all of the wisdom, like the Proverbs and so forth, Jesus embodied all of that. Right. He obeyed all of that.
Yeah.
So you're reading along in the law, like I've just finished almost the Pentateuch, the Torah, and my Bible reading plan this year, and all of these laws. Well, Jesus cared about every one of those, and he obeyed them because he is the law keeper. He had to do that as part of his fulfillment of the law. Mm-hmm. He never transgressed the law of God or the wisdom. Like the Proverbs, Jesus always acted in line with wisdom from God. He was never foolish. He was the wise man, we're told, in the New Testament. He fulfilled wisdom in this way. So when you're reading, like, even the law and wisdom, you know, we usually think, what does that have to do with me? Or we go immediately to what that has to do with me, and we bypass Jesus. No, go to Jesus first. Like, Jesus cared about what we're reading here, and he lived it out. And in many cases, you're going to see that, like, as you think about his life in the Gospels. This affected the way he taught. This has affected the way that he lived, the things that he did do and didn't do. It all came from his obedience to the law and wisdom. That's another way to see Jesus. There's three other ways. I don't know if you want to walk through this, or let's stop and take some questions and go a different direction.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, yeah, I was just going to say, I think you ordered it really well in the booklet. We're kind of the messianic ones, like when I first kind of looked at what Jesus said on the road to Emmaus, I kind of thought, you know, your mind immediately goes to some of those messianic prophecies. That's kind of like what you cut your teeth on. And then when you're right, once you start to see some of those shadows, some of them are quite obvious. You look at the life of Joseph, for example, or Jonah, in the fish, Jesus actually references that.
Yes.
Then you kind of see all throughout history these stories, almost every major character we can see, you know, shadows of Christ there. But yeah, then you see the more difficult ones. I think that was really well put, and I think I've heard you from the pulpit talk about when we went over Psalm 119, and the love that we see for the law there is embodied in Christ. And it sort of can sort of change the way you look at some of the Psalms when you see what David wrote and see how that truly was fulfilled in Christ, that he it changes. It's like a light bulb can kind of go off for you. So yeah, I'll say that it seems like an almost an impossible task when you kind of hear that Jesus is in all of the Old Testament. But once you kind of start to read this way, it can really open your eyes, mm-hmm. and it changes some of those passages that maybe you could get, you know, bogged down and stuck on. If you can just work out and see how you can see Christ in there, it can really open it up for you. The three other ones, fallenness, story, and themes. Can you tell us about those?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you a little bit. Yeah, particularly about fallenness.
Yeah.
That's the one, because that's the one. Somebody might say, what does fallenness have to do with Jesus? I mean, Jesus is our Savior because he's sinless. So,
yeah, and he's our Savior because we need saving.
Right.
And you see our need for salvation on almost every page of the Old Testament. There's only two chapters in all of the Old Testament in which we don't yet see a need for a Savior. Genesis 1 and 2.
Yep.
Yeah. What happens in Genesis 3? The right. fall. You know, Adam and Eve sin. And from there on, there is a curse over the world and the curse of death. And we need a Savior. So, you know, those first 11 chapters of Genesis, they've been called different things, like the universal history of the world, whatever. You see all kinds of examples of sin in those first 11 chapters of Genesis, well, except for Genesis 1 and 2. And then you've got the call of Abraham in chapter 12. And from then on, you know, through the patriarchs into Israel, almost every page of Scripture, you're seeing some expression of fallen humanity. There's all kinds of covenant unfaithfulness, adultery. We would probably say abusive situations, mm-hmm. sexual immorality, homosexuality, greed, theft, on and on the list goes. I mean, every page of the Old Testament, you're going to see examples of fallenness. And here's the thing. Every one of those examples you're reading, imagine it just rising up and calling out for a Savior. That's how Jesus would have read those scriptures. That's how Jesus would have heard those scriptures. And imagine Jesus in the synagogue, you know, prior to his public ministry. He's growing up, going to synagogue every Saturday, every Sabbath, and he's hearing the scriptures, and he hears these stories and examples of people falling and their sin and their rebellion. And he is realizing, however you want to put this together, you know, his full humanity and divinity, Jesus is realizing, this is why I'm here. This is why the Father has sent me into the world, because this sinful world needs a Savior. And he's reading the Old Testament in a way that's shaping his sense of mission, what he's come to accomplish. And once we start reading it through Jesus's eyes, you know, boy, that opens up a whole new world for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I'll talk about this in the booklet, so this will be a little bonus comment. This is in the book. I talk about reading over Jesus' shoulder. Imagine reading the Bible over Jesus' shoulder. We tend to read the Bible and we move Jesus out of the way. We don't intend to do this. It's just kind of in our practice what we do. We kind of move Jesus out of the way, unless there's some obvious passage about him. And we just read the Bible and immediately try to apply it to ourselves. That is the wrong way to read the Bible. There is nothing in the Bible that comes into our life that isn't first relevant to Jesus' life. Everything is fulfilled in Him, and it only finds its relevance for us in Him. And that's especially true of the Old Testament. So what we need to do as we read the Old Testament is read over His shoulder. It's like, how would Jesus have understood what He's reading here? How is this shaping His obedience, the things He teaches, what He does and doesn't do, His mission in the world that He's going to accomplish in His cross and resurrection? And it just opens our eyes to this whole new exciting world. It's like, oh, this is Scripture that's for me, but it's only for me in connection to Jesus. It really is immediately, ultimately, and initially for Him. And it comes to me through Him. So that's what I'm encouraging people to learn how to do. Read over Jesus' shoulder.
That's great. It's a great way to think of it.
Yeah, I love that. Well, we can leave this open for those that want to read it. Of course, we're going to get more of the full thing from the booklet, but you want to touch on story or themes or both of those?
Yeah, just real quickly. A lot of the Old Testament is story, or the fancy word for that would be narrative. We call this Old Testament narrative, but stories in the Old Testament. Usually what's happening in a story is what happens in every good story. There's threat and resolution. You know, there's a plot problem, and how's it going to get solved? And the plot of the Old Testament is given to us through the covenants. God has made covenant promises. These are the ways He's going to bring redemption into the world. And once we understand that, then all of the little stories that we're reading begin to make more sense. Yeah. We're reading the little stories in light of the big story that unfolds through the covenants. And these little stories present threats to God's promises. Mm-hmm. Like, how is God going to fulfill His covenant promises when Jacob is a deceiver, or when Haman wants to wipe out the entire race of the Jews? How is God going to fulfill His promises through this Moabite woman, Ruth?
Yeah.
On and on we could go. What we're understanding is that there's a threat to the promises of God in all of these stories that we see in the Old Testament. And as the story is resolved, the little stories are resolved, we're understanding, oh, God is being faithful to keep His promises. He is not going to let His promises fall. He is going to bring them to fulfillment in who?
In Jesus.
In Jesus. Yes. Like, if any of these promises fall, then Jesus is not coming into the world.
Yeah.
And God is impotent or a liar. Neither of those is true. So now all of a sudden we see, you know, the story's telling a big story in Scripture that are leading us to Jesus. You know, backstories are very popular in the superhero movies. Mm-hmm. At least they were, you know, 5-10 years ago. You know, every superhero had to have a backstory movie. Well, what's the backstory to Jesus? It's the Old Testament stories. Those are His backstory. It's like, what was going on to bring Him into the world? There you go. It's the Old Testament.
That's so lovely. I'll just say, I did not grow up reading the Bible that way.
I didn't either. Yeah.
You know, it was just like this story. And then here's this story. It's, just read them separately.
They're disconnected.
Disconnected. Yeah.
And you can learn something from that story independently.
Sure.
Right? Maybe even something about God, but not so much pointing to Christ the way that you're talking
That's
about.
Right.
Yeah. I think for me that, like, once I saw the common thread there and saw the Old Testament as one larger narrative, and we have smaller narratives that are a part of this one, that completely changed the way I read the Bible. So that's exciting.
It is exciting. And now we know we're reading the Bible at least in the right direction, because Jesus said it was all about Him to bring us to Him. So now when we're in the stories, we're not just looking for ethical examples. We do look for ethical examples, like things that we ought to do or not do or be or not be. The Bible's given us to us for our instruction and encouragement, we're told in the New Testament. But all of that has to be in light of Jesus. It has to be interpreted in light of the gospel, or else we're just trying to be good moral people, or maybe good Jewish people, but we're Christians. Yeah. So we got to read it this way. Last thing you mentioned, though, was themes. That's the sixth way I think the Old Testament points to Jesus. And all I mean by that is whatever theme that you see in the text, whether it's holiness or judgment or mercy or peace or sacrifice or whatever the theme is, how do you understand that in light of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection? Because it has no relevance to you apart from that. Mm-hmm. Like one example is Psalm 103, what God says about forgiveness. You know, he's going to cast our sins away from us as far as the east is from the west. Is that true apart from Jesus?
Right.
Is it?
No.
No.
It cannot be.
It can't be.
No.
And the reality is nothing is true for us apart from Jesus. It all finds its fulfillment in Christ, and then now it has relevance for our lives. So whatever theme you see in a text that you're reading, just reflect on that in light of Jesus, because it finds its fulfillment in him. There is no promise you can obey apart from Jesus. There's no obedience you can render apart from Jesus. There's no repentance you can give apart from Jesus. There is nothing that you can do in relation to God, your Father, apart from Jesus. Jesus is the one and only mediator between God and man. We have to understand how these themes are fulfilled in him.
Yeah, I love it. Amen. All right. In the booklet, you mention, you sort of reference a pocket edition Bible in passing, which is just one that would just only contain the New Testament. Sometimes we see those like New Testament plus the Psalms. So what is the danger, or is there a danger in emphasizing or prioritizing the New Testament over the Old?
Yeah, well, this relates to the other podcast we recorded not long ago, but half a Bible is better than no Bible, but we want the whole Bible. So the danger of emphasizing, say, the New Testament over the Old Testament or in exclusion of the Old Testament. And, oh, you hear some preachers do this, like explicitly minimizing the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
That is a serious error, because all of Scripture is given to us to profit us and equip us for following Jesus Christ. The danger is we're not going to have a fully formed view of Christianity without the Old Testament. We're not going to understand things about Jesus that we really need to understand. And the only way we can understand those things is by knowing the Scriptures that made him who he was. And those are the Old Testament Scriptures. So, yeah, I mean, I love the Gospels. I love Acts. I love the letters. I love Revelation. I don't think there's any danger of God's people not loving the New Testament. But what we've got to remember is that we can't fully understand Jesus without the Old Testament. And we can't fully understand the Old Testament without Jesus. But once we have that together, now we've got the whole Bible, and therefore we've got the whole foundation of Christian discipleship. God gave us not Matthew through Revelation to make us the people we need to be. He gave us Genesis through Revelation to make us the people we need to be. So, you know, there's that phrase in Acts, the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God is, the way I understand it, all of the Bible understood in light of Jesus. That's what the apostles preached. That doesn't mean they preached, you know, every single book of the Bible. Maybe they did. What it means is wherever they were preaching from the Bible, they were helping people understand how that related to Jesus being the Son of God who came to save us from our sins.
Right.
Yeah.
It's incredible. I love the booklet, and I'm excited for people to read it. You wrote it in a way that's fast. It's yes. It's a quick read.
It's a quick read.
It's easy to wrap your head around, and it's very practical. It gives us tools that can benefit anybody.
And let me say one other thing about the booklet. We're working on getting a copy of the booklet for every family in our church. So, I mean, I'd love for everybody to buy this booklet. I don't get royalties from this booklet, so I don't mind pushing it. Buy the booklet. Mm-hmm. Give it out to people. But we're going to try to secure a copy for free for all of the families in our church. So stay tuned for that.
Awesome.
Great. Yep.
Is there anything else that you wanted to add? Thanks again for doing this. If not, Kevin, you can close this out.
No, thank you. It's great to talk about this.
Cool. Awesome. Good.
Let's pray. Oh, Lord, what a joy it is to talk about just the beauty of all of your word today, and especially the Old Testament. I'm thinking now even of the past few days when I've read in New Testament readings and how so often they point back to what you were doing in Christ in the Old Testament, even though the name Jesus is not even there. I thank you today for just getting to hear from David and for putting it on his heart to write this booklet. I pray that you would use it in the lives of the families of our church, use it in other places in the lives of believers, Lord. And thank you for Jesus. Thank you for I think David has used the term a literary genius. You are a literary genius. You have done such an amazing thing in giving us your word the way you have. Mm-hmm. Help us, Lord, not to take that for granted. Give us a deep desire to be in your word in all of it, and to make your glory known in our neighbors, in the nations, in our city, in our families, Lord. Help us. And just thank you for this time that we've had together today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you're encouraged. If you were, share this with somebody you know, and make sure to share your story as well. And we'll see you on the next episode.